This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Good morning, everybody. Mishnah Yaimi. We are in Kalim, Perek Yudalid, Mishnah Zayin. Today we'll be doing Yudalid Zayin and Yudalid Ches. Yodaz and Yidach. Yesterday we did Yudalid, Dalad Hey and Vav. Let's go. Got a lot to do today. Let's go. Tummy parts of the yoke of the wagon, the metal yoke, the katarov, the crossbar that goes below, the knafayim, the tips that accept the ritzuos, not there decoratively, the iron that goes underneath the animal's neck. Okay, these things are pshutikli matechois. The soimeich, what is the soimeich? That's pulls the ring that pulls the actual wagon. Weiter, the machger. The machger is this some sort of rope or necklace, chain. That's probably a better description. That goes around the animal's neck. Tamchuya is plates that go above the animal's neck. Inbal, the knocker, the clapper inside the bell. Tzinoire. Tzinoire is, what was the tzinoire again? The hook. Hook. That hooks the pack, the load. Masmer, the screw that puts it all together. It's not there for beauty. Mishnah, hey, what are things that are toire? The oil, the mitzupe. If it's wood, it's mitzupe. With metal, then we say, ikar, it's a kli. Eitz, pshutik leitz, not makabel tomo. Can find the tips that are made for beauty alone, because tachshita behem are not makabel tomo. The shvayfogel is the pipes that are there to make beautiful, nice, pleasant noises. That's not considered a kli tashmish. It goes into the category of noi. Okay, weiter. Avar, lead balls that are decorative. That are on the animal's neck, like a little necklace charm thing, jigs. Soyviv shell galgal.
Metal rim.
Metal rim.
Around the wheel.
Yep. Tassim, metal plates for beauty. Tzipuya, metal coverings. All other nails. All tahoyin. Animal shoes of metal you could drink out of their tummy. If they're made out of sham, some sort of retard, they can't drink out of them. So it's interesting because the sandal behem apparently are for tachshitim. Yeah, they say that. A sword, when is it makabel tomo if it gets rusty and you want to fix it? Once you smooth it out. But a knife. A knife which cuts with its sharp blade, I have to not just smooth it, but I also have to sharpen him. Shiash chi zeno. Mishnah Vav. A metal cover of a basket that you made into a mirror. It's also a mirror. By buffing it, etc. B'yudah mitaher v'chachomim mitamin. Okay. A mirror that broke. If it's not functional, can't show over the face, then it's tahayra. Mishne Zayin, Rabbi Yisai, let's go weiter. Okay, let's review for a moment some klalim we learned. We know that a metal kli that broke is tahar. But if you put it back together, the Rabbanu Regezer, Tumah Yeshana, the Tumah comes back. Okay? So if you would reconstitute that kli, and as Tumas Mace, you need to go through the purification process for Tumas Meis, which would necessitate that you sprinkle it from the Paraduma, ashes, and with the water, on day 3 and day 7 of its Tahara period. And you would have to wait 4 days between the two sprinklings. The Mishnah will tell us that there is some room to be lenient in this regard when we're dealing with Kalim that were the reconstituted Kalim. Says the Mishnah, very fascinating Mishnah, something I never would have expected. Teach me something new. Kli matochis, metal kelim. Mitamin, they are become tamei. Umitaharin, and they become tahar, shvurin, broken. Okay. What does that mean? Well, mitamin shvurin is very simple. They can become tamei, broken, that there's a special, means the unique toma that comes to them when they're broken, which means that if you refix them, you reconstitute them, then the tumah comes back. So the tumah is not going to come when it's broken, but it comes to a kli that was once broken. A special tumah, unique tumah, that comes to a kli that was once broken. According to Rabbi Elazar, There's a special inti also when you're retiring a kli that was once broken. That you will not necessarily have to wait those waiting days. Reb Yeshua Imer, no. Ein mitaren el shleimen. There's no such thing. Mm-mm. There's no such thing with being mitaren kelim. No such thing. They're no different than a kli that was never broken. Okay. Ketzad. How is it? Okay. Hizo alehen. You sprinkled upon them the first mechata sprinkling on day number 3. Nishbaro boy bayo boy. And you broke it that day. On day number 3. V'tichon, and you refixed it. You fixed it up. V'chazar, after it was reconstituted, he's on Shane's appointment on the same day. Harilu Tahirin, even though you didn't wait the 4 days. That breaking is considered the substitution for the waiting days. This is unbelievable. Wow. Any day. I mean, it happened to be that you sprinkled the 3rd day and then it broke. But it could be even probably the day 4 or day 5. It doesn't make a difference. And then you broke it. You reconstitute it. So the Tumah comes back. You do not have to wait for the 7th day. Because Midrash said it's Tahar. Midrash said it broke. Midrash said it's Tahar. So I guess there's some sort of Kul Derabanan. Fascinating. Okay. Hare elu tahirin de Rebbelezer. Fine. Rebbelezer's makel. Yes. Rebbelezer holds that the breaking and reconstitution will substitute for the waiting of the 4 days. Since there was a breaking in between the 1st and 2nd Hazayas, it's as if you waited the 4 days. Now, this is only when first sprinkling was before the breaking and second sprinkling was post the reconstitution. But if the first Hazai was after it was fixed, then you have to wait the 4 days. Wow. The Tosefta brings another Chiddush of Rebbe Elazar. I'm just reading the footnotes. A metal kli that becomes tamei meis, and it broke. And you reconstitute it. On the day it becomes tamei. You can sprinkle, and then wait 4 days, and sprinkle again. You didn't wait the first 3 days. The breaking took care of that. Wow. Similarly, I'm reading back up top. If the first sprinkling was before it broke, you cannot sprinkle again while it's broken. You have to reconstitute it. Yeah, because once it's broken, there's no toma, and there's no sprinkling in a kli, there's no toma. So Rabbi Glezer says, kli matechus mitarin shvurin, that the shvira affects a new leniency in tara. That can hasten the second sprinkling. Fascinating. No, there's no such thing. Fair enough. It was 3-4 days. Doesn't hold in this business. Hold of anything. Yeah. Wow. So this is a special kula from Rebbe Elazar. Unbelievable. Okay, Rabbi Yisai, Mishnah Ches. Ready, Mr. T? You were blown away, weren't you? By Rabbi Eliezer. You were blown away by Rabbi Eliezer. You were blown away by the keys. All right, that Mishnah, that's more of a technical Mishnah. Okay, this is the first one's more of a lumdish Mishnah. All right, Rabbi Yisai, let's go weiter. A kli is mekabel tum of its metal. What if it broke? Did we talk about this already? Broken keys. Sounds like we should have talked about this. Mateach shel arkuva im mateach. That is a knee shape. I need some English words here. A knee-shaped key. Mm-hmm. There's a key has three sections. Upper leg, lower leg, and foot. It's in that shape. Okay. Now, remember something. A lock consists of a box that's on the inside of the door, as you see in the picture. Without a picture, you really can't understand what I'm talking about. That box, yeah, holds a bolt that slides into a hole which goes into the doorpost. Or out of the hole if you want to open the door. There are grooves drilled into the bolt. To open or close the door, one inserts the key into a hole in the box. Move the key downward, it inserts into the grooves. Or the opposite. Sometimes you have teeth protruding from the bolt, and the key would have grooves that go over those teeth. It could be either way. That will come up later. Once the key is engaged in the bolt, you can move it horizontally. To provide access to the lock from the outside, a hole is made through the door and the side of the box that faces the door. So you can have access to it. This is unbelievable. Okay, wow, this is unbelievable. Shenish bar mitoch arkuva soy. Rabbi Yehuda mitamei mreshu poseach boi mebifnim. Yehuda's mitamei. Why?
Because you can use it from the inside.
Yeah. Because you can still use it from the inside. So you can still use it from the inside, even if it's missing a part. This is very, very interesting. So why with the inside you could use it's more usable, I guess, because the inside you have much bigger access and you can use it even if it's not complete. Okay? That's what they're showing in the picture. Showing the picture that I guess that's just the way the hole is bigger and or the way where the hole is located gives you much more access to it. Fine. So the chum say tahar, because that's not the real maiden usage. Maiden usage is to use a case from the outside. I don't know why. Don't you need from inside? They usually don't lock the doors when they go inside. They probably do, no? The night they don't lock the doors? Because you could use it from the inside. Okay. Let's go weiter. Shel gam, shnishbar b'toch gumoy tar. Gam, or gamma, third letter of the Greek alphabet.
L.
L-shaped. That it was broke in the middle of its gamma, where it bends, leaving you only a straight stick. Tar, according to everybody. It's worthless. Okay. It's worthless, I guess. All right. Fun. So the difference was before it was a three-part key. Okay, That's fine.
The gamma was only a two-part key.
I know, the gamma, right. The gamma was not the two-part, right. Exactly, the gamma was two-part. I agree with you. Hoye boy chofin unikovin. It has teeth and grooves. Did I translate it? Teeth and holes. Okay, grooves. Tommy. Tommy. Some say, I'm sorry, sometimes you have a key that can open up many different locks. Chofim are the teeth that are protruding that will go into holes in the grooves in the bolt. Nikovim are grooves in the key that the teeth go in it. So the Mishnah is telling us, even if Nishma Tech Gumai, he still could use it. Why? I'm not getting this. There are holes in teeth, Tomei. You need holes and teeth in the remaining part of the key. Nitluch, okay, I guess. Didn't really show how you could use that, but okay. Nitluch, if you lose the teeth, Tabinei Kavim still has the grooves. You can't have a groove with no teeth. It just means you lost one tooth.
And interesting locks in those things.
You can't have a hole. Okay, I guess. I hear, okay. Fascinating. Okay. Oh, it's fascinating. Fascinating. Nistatmu nekoven, you don't have the holes, but you have chafin. How do you have a chaf without a coven? They always go together. You can't have one without the other.
Can't have.
I don't know. It's hard for me to understand
holes
this.
Holes without grooves?
Yeah, but look at them. Any case where you have grooves, you also have teeth. Any case you have teeth, you also have grooves.
But you can have one without the other.
No, you can't.
If the teeth get knocked out.
Then you don't have grooves either, if the teeth got knocked out.
The grooves are separate.
Yeah. That's how you understand? Okay.
That's the way I see it.
All right. Okay. Osh nitlu chafin v'statu nekavin. You took off the teeth and the grooves got closed up. Osh apartzel sechzeh. If they got warped and the grooves are now touching each other. Is that right? Tahar. I don't know. Tahar.
Yeah, because they can't open the door.
Fighter. Misaneshal chardol, a mustard sieve. Okay, a little easier issue now. A mustard filter. Shnivritso, bashlash nekav milmatan zelasechzet tahira. It's made like a sieve made out of metal. You're filtering your mustard. You put in your mustard with the schmutz. What goes out? The little gargarim. The psela stays behind. So what happened to it? One large hole to Tahira. Because that large hole will allow the psela to go through. Okay, now the last thing is a hopper. Mishnah is talking about a hopper of a grain mill. Grain is poured into the upper wide and comes out from the lower narrow. So it slows things down. It's not merely part of a mill as a shim bifnei atzmai. Therefore, it's makabel tumah like shute kli mateches. Everybody have a wonderful day.
Chapter 15.
Wow, that's an accomplishment.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.